This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. It's your weekly blitz with Chris, keeping you in the game.
Are you ready to supercharge your auto repair business? This is Coach Chris Cotton from AutoFix Auto Shop Coaching. The weekly blitz is where industry expertise and business innovation collide, revving your engines for the week ahead. Every episode has game-changing insights, up-to-the-minute industry updates, and practical tips to shift your business into high gear. We're talking about stuff you didn't even know you didn't know, folks. This episode is brought to you by Shop Marketing Pros, the experts in marketing for top-tier auto repair shops. If you're running a successful shop and want to take it to the next level, Shop Marketing Pros is without a doubt your best option. From websites and SEO to social media and digital ads, Shop Marketing Pros help shop owners like you fill your bays, grow your revenue, and build the life you've been working for. If you're ready to take the guesswork out of your marketing, I want you to visit shopmarketingpros.com/Chris and get a free digital marketing inspection and start building the shop of your dreams today. Hey, everybody. It's Coach Chris from AutoFix Auto Shop Coaching. Today, we're diving into this first episode in the series that I wanted to start. My apologies for last week. We had some technical difficulties, and then Kimberly and I both have been sick for a couple of weeks where we could barely speak. So my apologies for that. But the big thing is I want to get started on the series. And again, remember, we're going back to basics. We're starting with things that we know we need to be doing. So today, as we get started into this, I want to dive into something that should be second nature, but often isn't. And it's communication in the shop. And that starts with the language we use every day. Before I get into the list of 30 essential auto repair terms, I want to say this. In most auto repair shops I visit, heck, even in really, really well-ran shops, even in my shop, the majority of problems that we have don't come from broken tools or broken cars. They come from broken communication. You know, let that sink in for a minute. If we go back to the back of the shop, you know, a technician thinks they communicated clearly in the notes, but the advisor misunderstands something. The advisor thinks the customer understood what they were agreeing to, but the customer only heard it'll be quick and cheap. The manager thinks they set expectations, but the employee walks away confused. Communication is not what's said. It's what's heard or it's what's understood. And too often in shops, what's understood is wrong. You know, we get emails, we get texts, we get DVIs, repair orders, phone calls, in-person handoffs, sometimes handwritten chicken scratch on shop towels. If we're not all speaking the same language and that language isn't clear and consistent, it causes comebacks, wasted time, lost sales, burned out team members. So today I want to start cleaning that up with a shared language, because when we understand each other, we move faster, we sell better, and we serve stronger. And these terms are terms that we use in the shop with each other, and it's terms that we use outside as owners. These are terms that we use when we go to meetings. Speaking of meetings, anytime you go to a meeting, like say you go to a Worldpac training, NAPA training, anywhere training, when you go, print out your latest income statement and business summary and take it with you. That way, if a coach, trainer, something is asking questions about numbers or something else like that, you can look at that and go. I've been having some great classes lately, but I wish people would come with some of these things with them. All right. On the communication thing, really quickly, I've coached hundreds of shops and the story's always the same, right? He didn't tell me. I thought she meant they didn't understand what I was asking. It's not that your team's lazy. It's not that your customers are dumb. It's that we didn't communicate in a way that stuck. The three types of communication problems in shops are, you know, the wrong type of communication. You send a text when it should have been a call. You write a sticky note when it needed to be face-to-face. Sometimes the medium is the message. Next, you have improper communication. Maybe you use the wrong words. You talk too much jargon. You skipped important details. You know, advisors do this with customers all the time. I've been in the industry for 30 plus years. I still do it. If you told a customer, hey, your pads are down to 3 millimeters, and the customer hears, oh, that sounds like it's fine. What they needed to hear was, you're almost at the wear limit. This is the last stop before metal on metal. Something like that. Paint the picture. Don't leave things to interpretation. Next, you know, we have poor listening and understanding. Sometimes we think we said it clearly, but the other person heard something completely different. That's why I always tell shop leaders, ask them to repeat it back to you. And if they can't explain it, then they didn't get it. You can do this nicely with customers as well without making them feel belittled or like they don't know things or anything else. Again, fixing communication starts with language. That's why today's episode isn't just about vocabulary. It's about alignment. When a tech writes a drivability issue in their notes and the advisor understands what that means and they both communicate that to the customer in a way that lands, everybody's winning. Use DVIs well, slow down enough to explain, and for crying out loud, don't assume understanding just because you said it once. I want to give you a challenge this week. I want you to take the 30 terms we're getting ready to go to. You can write them down, print them out, go around your shop, ask your team if they know what each one means. And I know you know what it means. And I know you think you know that everybody knows what it means, but ask them to repeat to you, what do these terms mean? Also, this is just 30 terms. I could do another podcast on another 30 terms and another podcast after that on another 30 terms. Seek to understand, make sure you're out, make sure you're looking for the wording we use in the industry and start working all there. All right. Go to everybody in the shop, talk to them. These terms are, some of them are basic, some are operational, but I think all of them are foundational. Okay. Number one, repair order. That's the golden ticket. If it isn't on the RO, it doesn't exist. This tracks the customer's concern, the work done, how we get paid. It's also a legal document. And I've said this before, you've heard me say it. If you have to go to court 3 years from now and everybody that worked in the shop then is gone or whatever, somebody needs to be able to read that repair order and make sure that they can decipher what's going on there in an intelligent manner. Next, we have the digital vehicle inspection. For technicians, this is your best sales tool. Service advisors, this is the best way for you to get the information across to the customer. Photos, videos, documentation. It builds trust and helps advisors communicate better with the customers. We're not going to debate flat rate shop versus paid hourly or whatever, but the next term is just flag hours. This is how many hours a technician bills. This is not how long the job takes. Flat rate techs, you live and die by this. The next one is flat rate. Flat rate is the pay system where you get paid by the job, not by the clock. It can be a blessing or a curse depending on the workflow, dispatching, and your technical capabilities. Number five, we have canned job. I want you to think of this as a combo meal. This is parts and labor bundled together for easy quoting, brakes, flushes, batteries, you name it. You can put a canned job together for anything. You can also stack canned jobs together on your maintenance stuff and then give a discount if you're doing like four or five of these together. Next, we have the dreaded C word, comebacks. Nobody likes a comeback. It's the job that didn't get fixed the first time and comes back to haunt you. One thing I want you to think about, how do you track a comeback? What happens with it? Was it a parts issue? Was it a training issue? What was the root cause, failure, analysis results for the comeback? Number seven, diagnostics testing is what I like to say, but also diagnostic time. This is billable. Stop giving it away. You're not just poking around. You have skills. You have the abilities to solve a problem and get paid for it. All right. Parts margin. This is a markup on parts. You should know it, track it, and constantly work to improve it. Use a parts matrix. I just taught a class this last weekend, and half the class used a parts matrix, and half the class was using whatever the dealer suggested list was. They don't know what your overhead is. They don't care what your overhead is. That list price has nothing to do with your shop. Next, we have labor rate. This is the hourly rate you charge for technician time. Know your worth, price accordingly. There are math equations to figure out based on your costs what your pricing should be, not the Oreo method. All right. Number 10, technician's notes. If it's not written down, it didn't happen. Good notes make great service. They will make you shine as a service advisor. Sometimes the spelling's wrong. Sometimes we need to clean it up. But really make sure your technician is writing great notes on those DVIs and the diagnostic testing, everything else. Okay. Next, if we're looking kind of like 11 through 20, these are some service advisor terms if we wanted to break it down that way. Number 11 is deferred work. This is work that was needed, that we recommended, but that didn't get approved this time. We want to keep a log and follow up. This is opportunity waiting, folks. If you don't have a CRM that follows up with people, you need to do old school and do a 1 through 31 file and pull that back out. If you have questions about what a 1 through 31 file is, and you don't have a CRM, feel free to shoot me an email and I can explain it to you. Number 12 is the actual estimate or the quote. This is the moment of truth. How clearly you present this really makes or breaks the sale. 13, this is one that when I was thinking about this, I almost didn't include this one or the next one, but I think it's important, especially when we have new people in the industry, when we're talking what this is, and that's OEM parts. OEM parts, original parts from the manufacturer, high quality, usually higher cost, and again, don't follow the dealer list when you see those invoices come in. Number 14, aftermarket parts. So these are non-OEM options, sometimes just as good, sometimes not. You have to know your vendors. You have to know what alternators from what places you want to do. In our shop, we're having, knock on wood, a terrible issue with radiators right now. I don't know what it is about them. Parts quality is a whole different episode. Number 15, drivability concern. When a customer says it just doesn't feel right, it could be anything from misfire to a transmission lag. You have to dig in a little bit deeper on that and ask the customer, is it from the front of the car, or the back of the car? When you stop, does it do a start? Get more information on that to give to the technicians so that they can have a place to start from. Number 16, upsell. It's not dirty. It's offering value. If the car needs it and you don't mention it, that's doing the customer a disservice. That's way worse. Okay. Take everything you know about the car and present it all to the customer. That's your job. Number 17, there's a big difference between a technician's productivity and bay productivity or bay utilization. So that's number 17 is bay utilization. Are your bays busy or are they sitting empty? This tells you how well your workflow is managed, tells you don't have enough cars. What do you need to do to kick that up a notch? Number 18, RO conversion rate. Are you selling what you're inspecting? If not, we've got a training issue or a value issue or a relationship building issue. The other thing is I'm calling it the RO conversion rate, but you can also just call it the conversion rate or conversion. Number 19, labor hours per repair order. If this number's too low, you're either not selling enough or your team isn't recommending properly. You know, there are kind of industry guidelines for what you should be doing in your shop. A general repair, you should be doing 3 hours. Euro and diesel, you should be anywhere from 4.5 hours to 6 hours per ticket. Remember LHPRO, labor hours per repair order. Number 20, I probably could have put this in some sort of an order. I thought about putting it into workflow order, but this is one of the biggest ones we track. And the one that I think is the most important is average estimate. How big are your opportunities? This tells you how much value your team is presenting to the customer. And then based on closing ratio and average repair order, there's a lot of other things that we can do this, but I think you need to be looking at and tracking your average estimate for sure. The next or the last 10, as you were, I kind of want you to think about these as like profit, process, and production. So the first one out of this one is ARO or average repair order. This is your go-to metric for financial health. You got to track this weekly, monthly, yearly. I track it daily. How are we doing today? What does this look like? Number 2, gross profit. It's revenue minus cost of goods sold. This is the real money maker. Don't confuse revenue with profit. Okay. Number 23 and 24 go together. And I'm going to slow down and say this because a lot of people get confused. Number 23 is technician efficiency. This is how fast a technician works. This is build hours versus available hours. A must watch for productivity. Technician productivity is how many hours are actually billed versus how many hours are clocked in. Those are not the same. Okay. The other thing to step back a minute for efficiency. Efficiency is if we have a 6-hour job and we're able to do it in 3 hours. That's efficiency. Productivity is the technicians clocked in for 40 hours a week, meaning that they're available 40 hours a week and they bill out 40 hours per week. That would be 100%. Okay. Next, we have the WIP screen or the work in progress screen. This is kind of a new one with some of the shop management systems that's out there. This is everything that's mid-repair or waiting on a part or customer callback. If you've got too much WIP, you might have a bottleneck. You got to keep an eye on that. Number 26 is dispatching, the art of job assignment. This is, did it go to the right tech, the right job, the right time? Like, how are we doing that? What are we able to do? We've talked about what a DVI is, but next I want to mention a multi-point inspection. You can have a DVI, that's the bigger frame point, but the multi-point inspection is what fits inside the DVI. Don't just go through the motions. This is your roadmap for customer education, future work. You can have different inspections for different things. You can have an 18-point inspection that is a DVI for one. You can have a 45-point inspection that isn't within the framework of the DVI for something else. Okay. Number 28, cores. These get lost so many times in shops, and you have to have a process and procedure about around your cores, who's watching them, who's returning them, who's tracking them, who's measuring them. Make sure your service advisors understand it. Make sure you return it. Whatever process works for you. Okay. Number 29, maintenance schedule or preventative maintenance schedule. Know the intervals, what you believe in as automotive professionals in your area. Preach the intervals. Preventative maintenance keeps customers safe. It keeps shops profitable. It keeps customers safe, but it also should help them maintain their vehicles better, and it should help them reduce their overall maintenance cost because they're doing preventative maintenance. Number 30, I did mention comebacks already. I put this in here for warranty work. Not all comebacks are the same as warranties. Not all warranties are comebacks. You should be listing and tracking your warranty work separately. A comeback is the process of a car returning. Warranty is like, what did we do to fix that or whatever? And so you can call it different things, but really we need to be looking at that, and we need to be reducing it as much as possible. Okay. The big thing is I want you to remember clear language equals clear expectations equals better results. If you need help tightening up your process, your people, or your profits, you can reach out to me at AutoFix, Auto Shop Coaching. You know, if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with other shop owners who maybe need a little help tightening up their communication game. So really, I want you to think about it. And if you hear this or see this somewhere and you have a really, really good term that the shops use that we didn't include, make sure and put it in the comments. Shoot me an email, chris@autofixsos.com. I'd love to hear what these important terms are to you. Okay. I'd like to give a final shout out to our sponsor, Shop Marketing Pros. They're the only marketing company I recommend, and they handle all the marketing for my shop as well. If you're serious about growth, you need strategies that actually work, better websites, higher Google rankings, and ads that bring real customers through your doors. I want you to go right now and visit shopmarketingpros.com/Chris and partner with a team that understands your business, because every great shop deserves marketing that's just as great. Thanks for tuning in to the Weekly Blitz. Remember, it's time to rise, grind, and keep your mindset positive. Until next time, this is Coach Chris Cotton signing off. Have a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton on the AftermarketRadioNetwork.com. Follow Chris on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Chris is all for advancing the aftermarket.